long time ago, either somebody told me or I read somewhere, it is said that one of the curses in some Asian culture is that they say, may you live in interesting time. Obviously, we are living in very interesting time, even though it sounds very exciting, this idea of living in an interesting time, but maybe can be curse and also can be blessing. Let's realize that we have the power to change our perspective, our narratives about pretty much every event and situation. The blessing and the curse are the same sometimes. It already depends on how we interpret what is a curse to somebody can be absolute blessing to somebody. By being said that, there are a lot of change, confusion are happening right now in the world due to various factors. The collapse of a lot of maybe old traditions and political instability, as well as also ecological crisis. Especially right now, there is a pandemic spreading all over the world. Personally, I have many friends in South Korea, in China, in Malaysia, in France, and in Germany. I feel extremely sympathy with all my friends, as well as the whole humanity. We are going through a lot of difficulties right now. This morning on the way here, I caught a glimpse of a homeless man sitting under a bridge, which broke my heart. He was shivering. He tried to keep himself warm in a few clothes. I realized that how fortunate many of us are. World seems to be going through also a very powerful purification or karmic purification, not for the worse, but for the better. It's important for us to remember the silver lining of all this confusion and the craziness out there. This is a time for us to recall or invoke a sacred model. This can be very useful methods to quiet our mind and to be in touch with our best nature, where there's a dignity, courage, and compassion. There are many sacred models that people have been using in order to find dignity in themselves. Almost every spiritual tradition have their own sacred model. For me, one of the most powerful sacred model is the Buddha. the Shakyamuni Buddha. Even though we haven't met with the Shakyamuni Buddha, but we do have some idea about who Buddha is. Of course, we don't know exactly every details about Buddha's life and he who was. But as a collective aspiration, we do have this quite clear idea of what who Buddha is, what Buddha will do. Buddha is somebody who embodies dignity, love, compassion, even though he was a human being. Basically, you might like to say Buddha was an extremely cool guy. That's how I describe who he is. He was a really cool guy. There's a time that we need a lot of people who are cool. So Buddha was very cool. You know, sometimes people ask me about my spiritual master, Lama Tsarlo, Kampo Chimpo, and I feel that I have to describe some kind of grand version of who they are, like they are being this exalted, some kind of transcenders. And perhaps the people who ask me such question might have this expectation that I'm going to say something about my spiritual masters that is extremely mind-blowing, extra mundane. And one time I felt that the best way I can describe my spiritual masters is to say they are extremely cool. My teachers were really cool. Lama Tsarlo was extremely cool. He was a cool guy. So I'm Kampo Chimpo. I know this sounds really too ordinary. Please do not think that I'm not having enough reverence or devotion to my spiritual masters. By the way, I do have the utmost reverence and love and devotion towards my spiritual masters. Even today, I feel extremely fortunate and lucky that I met with some of these amazing spiritual masters who were true bodhisattvas, in my opinion. But when I said they're cool, I'm trying to really describe who they are in a more accessible, very down-to-earth expression. And they're very dignified, they are loving, they're compassionate. I remember that my spiritual masters were able to hold their dignity, their love, their courage in the face of all situations. That's why I call these teachers are very cool. In the same way, Buddha was extremely cool. I think many people have some idea about who Buddha is. That's why if you go around, even here in the city of Berkeley or Richmond, you'll find that lots of people are displaying the image of Buddha in their garden, because the image of Buddha invokes something very noble in themselves. Because the image of Buddha or the life of Buddha symbolizes dignity, calmness, courage, compassion. And maybe a week ago, I participated in a meeting where we were chatting with a nice food, and then somehow we start talking about people, which is inevitable these days. In every conversation, we talked about people. as you know, it's very difficult to lose our awareness, our dignity when we talk about other people. Our mind has this tendency to jump into old habit, which is a judging, criticizing, dehumanizing. And at one point, this thought occurred in my mind, what Buddha would do, what Buddha would say about this person right now if Buddha is here. In that moment, some powerful shift happened in my consciousness. I realized that often in our speech, when we talk about other people, we tend to lose the dignity, the compassion, and we often forget that all human beings are intrinsically divine, and they're not really different from each of us. And all human beings have a Buddha nature. We tend to forget that in our conversations when we talk about other people. And from there on, this phrase kept coming back to my mind. What would Buddha do? This is my mantra right now. And today I would like to share this mantra with all of you. Usually we tend to expect that mantras come in the form of a Sanskrit, start with Om and end with a Swaha or Hum. But this is a quite ordinary mantra, but I tell you, it's a very effective mantra. What would Buddha do? This is a mantra that we should remember to recite either out loud or in silence. Personally, I have been reciting this mantra all the time since then. Believe or not, and there are many moments in each day where you feel that this mantra is extremely helpful. It's not like that we need some kind of major challenge to recite this mantra and to feel grounded and to feel that we're in touch with our divine nature. But even in ordinary day, when everything's okay, there are so many moments in which that we can use this mantra. Otherwise, we can be living unconsciously, we'll be just doing things, acting, and we're saying things about the world, as well as about people, out of unawareness, like judgment, egotism, prejudice, and the lack of love and compassion. And therefore, amazingly, there are so many moments in each every day where we can remember this simple phrase, this mantra, what would Buddha do? If Buddha is here right now, what would he do? What would she do? If Buddha is talking about such a person, what would Buddha say about that person? Would Buddha call that person many names? Or would Buddha say kindly about that person? Or if we're going through some, of course, major challenges like a pandemic, illness, loss, what would Buddha do? How would he react? Would he be angry? Would he be totally confused? Would he be completely fallen apart? Or would Buddha have the ability to be grounded and to be courageous and altruistic? Not only in the face of these major challenges, but in your relationship with the world every day, as well as in your relationship with the people in your everyday life, there are going to be many moments where this mantra is going to be extremely helpful if we can remember. perhaps many of you remember that the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, said something truly profound. Didn't she say, when they go low, we go high? And that was, to me, extremely profound advice as well as a saying. I use that phrase in my spiritual practice, and I sometimes quote that phrase in my talks. It's another phrase that we like to remember. You see, there are some phrases, verses, and mantras that really have the power to invoke our goodness or our best self. That is one of them. When they go low, we go high. And sometimes you may feel the whole world is gone a little bit low. It could be our own perception. And it is really difficult not to go low when everybody is going low, whatever that means, which means our consciousness start to descend into fear, into anxiety, judgment, division, prejudice, paranoia. And to go high means that our consciousness began to ascend, which is to go into the love, compassion, acceptance, forgiveness, courage, transcendence. I feel that this is extremely powerful time. I already sent out some letters to many of you. My perspective on the time that we are living in is neither good nor bad. It's a very exciting time. In many ways, this is a really good time. If I have choice to go back to the past, I would not choose. I actually very much love this time in the history of humanity where so many good things are happening. And a lot of the confusions and instability that we're experiencing are indeed is a very healthy sign, a sign that the world is self-correcting. And there are a lot of things that we humans have been doing are not healthy, we're not even okay. And we are awakening as species and to realize that some of these things that we have been doing are not okay. They're not really good to the humanity. They're not good to our future generation. And then also with the other forces like ecological crisis, political instability, and then pandemic, this is a very powerful time where we just can sit around easily. Good luck with that if you can just sit around. But perhaps many people feel that somehow they're a little bit challenged. When I talk to people, they all feel that they're a little bit challenged. Not only the spiritual people, but I talk to all kind of people, my neighbors who are not officially Buddhist. And most people tend to said that there are kind of challenges this year with everything that is happening in the world. And therefore, this is a really powerful time. And it is a time for us to become a bodhisattva. If we don't make that conscious choice to become bodhisattva or to become like Buddha, even though maybe it's difficult to be like Buddha, but at least to invite Buddha as a sacred model that we want to follow. If we don't make that conscious choice, and then I think it's very easy for us to lose our dignity, coolness, and allow ourselves to be just immersed into collective delusion, collective anger, collective confusion, collective anxiety, which are cooking right now everywhere. So easy to lose our coolness, if I can say that right now. That may not be true in the past, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And now it's very easy to react to what is happening because and there's so many things that are happening in the world that can trigger us, our whatever, all these primitive impulses. And therefore, this is a very powerful time to lose our dignity or to make the conscious choice to go high. And I feel that this is like most rapid, rich time, opportunity to practice develop bodhisattva and to go high and to have almost a very powerful awakening and transformation. That's how I feel. I feel that maybe it takes many years and old days to experience very powerful transformation. Maybe it takes, who knows, years. You could be meditating in caves in old days where somebody will come to you and bring food and nobody would bother you. There are no cell phones. You'll be quite happy, right, in old days. Recently somebody told me that this Lama went into cave in the mountain Himalaya and he was alone and he meditated whole day. He just felt this unbelievable bliss and joy so much that sometimes he wanted to get up and jump around. He couldn't contain that joy and he didn't know where he was experiencing so much joy. In the old days, when life was much simpler without all the social media, and people did a lot of meditation retreat. They went into the caves, monasteries, practiced. Yes, many of them experienced transformation, but I feel right now we don't have to meditate in the cave for years to experience transformation. If you are able to remember to hold the bodhisattva's mind, bodhisattva's heart, which is to make that conscious choice to become bodhisattva and to go high, basically, and to use this time of confusion and craziness as an opportunity to become bodhisattva and to not react out of our fear, anger, and out of all these primitive habits, but to respond to everything out of a love, compassion, courage. And then in the end, we may come out as a very much awakened, matured bodhisattva and with a much bigger heart and with lots of wiser wisdom. And so we perhaps don't have to meditate in the caves for years. These days, even one day can be quite challenging too. Have you noticed it? Even one day is kind of challenging too. And especially if you open your smartphone and read all the news about misery, craziness, pandemic happening everywhere in the world. And then I personally don't have a Facebook account. My friends set up a Facebook for me, but perhaps some of you have a Facebook, and if you read your Facebook, there are a lot of information that can really challenge your triggers, anxiety, anger, judgment, and so forth. Therefore, even one day is kind of powerful these days. And so if you are able to experiment with one day, trying to bring Buddha as a sacred model and to respond to the world and to everything that is unfolding from the higher state of consciousness, towards the end of the day, you may feel you're really transformed as if you have been meditating in caves in the Himalayas for the last 3 years. This is good, isn't it? It saves lots of time. And somehow, especially in the secular culture like United States, there are not so much sacred models anymore. Maybe I could be wrong. Who's going to be the sacred models right now? People are becoming more and more secular, less religious, and therefore there are not so much sense of sacredness. There are no sacred really model. And then, of course, our models right now, our ethical models, are supposed to be politicians and celebrities. I don't know whether you want to take them as a sacred model. Sorry to say that. Do you have any mind in your mind, some politicians or the head of country that you wanted to take him as the sacred model and want to follow him? I don't know about that. And then the celebrities, movie stars. My question to the modern people in the secular culture is, who's going to be a sacred model? We need to revive some kind of sacred model. And therefore, today, Buddha is like a perfect sacred model to all of us, to everybody, because Buddha somehow invokes immediately the best part of ourselves, our best self, our true nature, our divinity. It's an immediate impact when you invoke the Buddha as a sacred model. And with the aspiration that you wanted to be in the state of consciousness, and that is similar to the consciousness of Buddha, and then you would have this aspiration to act in this world as a Buddha might act, and then you will have this aspiration to speak about the world, speak about other people the way Buddha might speak right now. And then you want to bring the same kind of love, trust, reverence in your relationship to the people as a Buddha might do. Let me invite all of you to call another sacred model, which is the Tara, the Arya Tara. Tara is a female Buddha in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition. Tara represents our fearlessness. Not reckless fearlessness, but compassionate and wise fearlessness, which we humanity need right now. I recite the Tara mantra quite often, and there are a few mantras that I recite in my spiritual practice. One of them is a Tara mantra. There are 21 Taras. The most revered version of Tara is the green Tara. Tara means the liberator. In Buddhism, there is no liberator outside of yourself. Who's the liberator, actually? Who's the real Tara? Tara is within each of us. Tara is our true nature, our inherent goodness. And yet, sometimes sacred model or sacred imageries are required in order to invoke the Dharma, the true Dharma within each of us. In this context, the true Dharma is a your state of consciousness that is a free, enlightened, full of compassion. The mantra of Dharma goes Om Tare Tare Tare. So when I recite that mantra, I pray to Dharma, even though Dharma is not outside, but I sometimes recite verses, hymns to the Dharma, and invite Dharma in my mind. And then I pray to her, even though this sounds very strange language, because Dharma is within myself. I pray to her to protect me, liberate me from my fear, from my whatever delusion, from my neuroses. I found that it's extremely powerful practice to do that, because sometimes we don't look inside and we really don't see how destructive our neuroses, our delusions can be. We even don't know how destructive our neuroses are and how much suffering that they're causing to oneself and to the world. And therefore, reciting the Dharma mantra with that attitude helped me to bring about self-knowledge and to really turn my attention inward and to ask the Dharma to protect me from myself, which is the best form of a prayer. The mantra goes Om Tare 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 Svaha. And today I would love to invite all of you who are listening to this teaching to recite this mantra with me and pray to the Dharma with me. Let me recite a hymn, a verse to the Dharma in Tibetan, and then together we'll chant this mantra. And also, we Tibetans have been chanting the Dharma mantra for healing. When somebody is sick, we chant the Dharma mantra. And therefore, this would be like perfect mantra to recite for the healing of the humanity right now, externally and also internally. Om Jepsen Pama Duma Chinchino Jigdan Dungare Kini Chapter Solo. Om Jepsen Pama Duma Chinchino Jigdan Dungare Kini Chapter Solo. Om Jepsen Pama Duma Chinchino Jigdan Dungare Kini Chapter Solo. Let me invite all of you to recite the Dharma mantra, which goes Om Tare 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 Svaha. Imagine that you're praying to Dharma, who is none other than your true nature. You are asking her to protect you from your fear, from your confusion, from your anxiety, stress, from your delusion, from your ignorance, and ask her to invoke love, courage, compassion, wisdom within. Om Tare 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 Swam 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 Om Tare 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 Swam 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 Om Tare 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 Swam 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 Tare 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 Om Tare 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 Swam 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 Om Tare 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 Swam 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 Om dare 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 som 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 dare 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 som dare 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 som dare 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 swaha. Let's sing this mantra together. Om dare dun dare dare savaha. Om dare dun dare. Om Tare Dun Tare Dure Sava. 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 Thank you, everybody, for participating in this practice and also for listening to this talk. I hope that this talk was useful to all of you. And now we go away and we are going to take this teaching, this wisdom with ourselves and to remember continuously to invoke the Buddha as a sacred model, the Aryatara as a source of inspiration, and then we can not only benefit from embodying love, compassion, dignity, but we want to share that with the world, and we want to go out and to almost exude this benevolent energy of dignity, peace, serenity, courage with everybody around us. In that sense, he can be the light to the world. Thank you, everybody. Be well. Stay in touch.